Here's Jack Patty.
9:07 as we welcome you into Friday, the 23rd day of January, brought to you by Landscaper's Corner, 1305 Old Frankfort Pike in Lexington. Landscaper's Corner has the largest selection of natural stone in our area. Call them at 225-9433. Our question of the day brought to you by United Structural Systems, your foundation repair and waterproofing experts. iFixFoundations.com, 859-254-7700. Should state lawmakers be immune from arrest while the legislature is in session? That's our question today. You tell us at WVLKAM.com. Tune in for the results with Cruiser and Crew noon to 3. Yesterday, our question is, should Kentucky law be changed to put county sheriffs in charge of county jails, as in other states? 68% of you said yes. 32% said no. Well, we've got Commonwealth Attorney Ray Larson with us this morning. Ray, good morning.
Morning, Jack.
You always want to respond to our question of the day, and I never ask you. So, should lawmakers be immune from arrest while the state legislature's in session?
You know, my wife never gets involved in anything like that.
Yeah.
And she was, this morning before I left, she says, "What do you think about this business?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, now, what are you talking about?" She says, "You think these people ought to be immune from being arrested?" And I said, "Absolutely not."
You know, I agree with that.
And, well, think about this, Jack. If they are what they call privileged from arrest, does that mean that if they get caught murdering someone,
yeah,
or raping someone, that you got to wait till after the session, the General Assembly session is over?
That's crazy.
Yeah, well, I just think
that's
silly.
Should we change the law in the state to put county sheriffs in charge of county jail?
I think we should. And I also think, or they ought to be run by the city like we do here in Lexington. I think we ought to have fewer counties than we have. We got 120 counties. That's probably more counties than any place in the country. And I think we ought to reduce the number of counties, which will reduce the number of public officials. And
I couldn't agree more, but you and I both know it's never going to happen.
Well, I believe it will one day, but
it'll
be long after I'm gone.
Yeah. Those are little dynasties that nobody wants to give up. And 120 counties is ridiculous.
Well, you got to remember, yeah, you're right. And the main reason is you got people in the legislature, the Senate, and the House of Representatives that will have to vote themselves
out of a job. And that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You brought a nice guy with us this morning. Tell us who you brung.
Well, he's not all that nice. Ronnie Baston was the police chief for, what, 7 or 8 years?
Seven years.
Wow. And I've worked, when I first came on here, it was John McFadden was the police chief. And then I guess it was Larry Walsh. And then it was Anthony Beatty. And then it was Ronnie Baston.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, I liked most of those people. But Ronnie Baston has been about as solid and calm a citizen as I've ever dealt with, mm-hmm, in a very high stress position. And we were fortunate to have him in that position. And then
did a great job for 7 years.
And then he is now the public safety commissioner. And so I'm really thrilled that he has remained in the position of public safety within our community. I'd hate to have lost him. Ronnie, welcome.
Well, thank you, Ray.
Yeah.
Good morning, Jack.
Welcome. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you.
I've never seen you out of uniform.
Well, I tell you, that is one of the more difficult parts of this new job, is trying to figure out what to put on every morning.
What to wear? You didn't have to think about that before.
Didn't have to think about that.
You've been a police officer for how many years?
30.
30 years. And you still are in the business, but it's a different, it's a more of a administrative job.
It is. Actually, I can go back if we want to count my corrections time before I became a police officer. I was with State Corrections for 6.5 years. So I've been in the business for over 36 years now.
So what does this job involve? What is your responsibility?
Police, fire, corrections, E911, and disaster and emergency management all report through the Office of Public Safety.
Interesting. So. That's a big job. Now, do you have weekly, monthly meetings? I know you're brand new at it, and you still have probably some things to learn, but just sort of go through your day.
Well, I'm still trying to figure that out, to be honest with you, but I will have very regular meetings with all the divisions that report to public safety. I want to know what's going on. I want to know what they're involved in so that I can support them in the ways that I can. But I have a lot of meetings. My days are filled with meetings, not only with those divisions, but other entities that come in that have public safety business.
We saw Cruiser here today, mm-hmm. and he asked, what are some of the things that you're having to deal with now?
Mm-hmm.
And it was very interesting because you have to, in this business, in the police business and in the whole public safety arena, you have to anticipate and be prepared for things. And the Final Four ideas is already out there, assuming that our basketball team does as well as we all hope it will. So tell me what does all that mean?
Well, that's true. You have to stay ahead of the curve, and the Final Four is something we're definitely planning for. All the divisions within public safety are thinking about that. That's on our front burner, as I think it needs to be, because I think we have a very good chance that we're going to be in that Final Four. But there's so much planning that goes into a large event like that, in coordination with other agencies and other law enforcement agencies. So it's not a small task, and we'll spend a lot of hours in the planning stages of that.
What kind of condition is our public safety overall agencies? Are we at full strength? Do we need people? What's the overall thought on that?
Well, we have attrition in public safety like any other large organization. Within public safety, I think there are around 1,650 total full-time employees and about 75 part-time, if you count school crossing guards and some of those positions. So with an organization that large, you're going to have a lot of attrition. We do have attrition, but we continually have hiring processes going on to fill the attrition. Sometimes there's a lag because of the training length of the training academies mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. some of the divisions, but we're constantly recruiting new folks.
Let's go to the phones. This is Kit. Good morning, Kit.
Good morning, Jack. And I would like to say congratulations to your guest on his new job.
Thank you.
The question that I have has to do with public safety. And the city of Lexington did have a call-in number, 311, where you could report faulty traffic lights or traffic light out of order, that type of thing. But now, if you call that number, it's been discontinued.
Well, that's not something I'm familiar with, Kip. It's my understanding that 311 is still going on. There may have been an issue or something when you tried to call, but it should be up and running.
Okay. Well,
What did they tell you when you called, Kit?
They didn't give you. It was just a recording saying that this number is out of service. And I tried more than one time.
Interesting.
I tried maybe three times and got the same thing every time. And when I would call, when I would try it, it would be, you know, roughly the middle of the morning during the week.
We'll get to the bottom of this before we leave the air, can't we, Ray? Can we call somebody and see what's up with that?
Well, we'll try. But probably first thing, Ron, you make sure you paid your bill.
Well, that's always a good starting point. But I would ask you to call that number again this morning if the issue still exists. And if that doesn't work for you, please call my office in the Office of Public Safety at 258-3820.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a valuable service. We're going to take, well, let's see, maybe here, see if this call comes in. If we get this call cleared, we'll take it. Otherwise, we have to take a break. 253-5959, touch star 590 from AT&T, toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590, email jackpatty@wblkam.com. 959, touch star 590 from AT&T, toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590, or email jackpatty@wblkam.com. Commonwealth Attorney Ray Larson with us, and our former police chief, now public safety commissioner, Ronnie Bastin, is with us. And someone called in the last segment, said 311 isn't in business anymore, which surprised Ronnie. We called it during the break, and they're very much in business. I don't know what happened to the gentleman who phoned, but a couple of people called and said you can't access it through a cell phone. You have to do it through a landline phone. So I called it on my cell phone and had no problem at all. Now, the lady, the very helpful lady that was on the other end of the line, said there may be problems from time to time, depending on exactly where you are in the county and what your cell service is, but you should be able to access 311 from anywhere, and cell phone or landline phone. So I'm glad the guy called, so maybe we can clear that up for folks, Ray.
Good. Ronnie, you were the police chief for 7 years, and you did a lot of things to bring kind of the management approach to the police department. And talk to us a little bit about some of the things that your accomplishments that you're proudest of in that role.
Well, there's a lot of things that I think we accomplished during the last 7 years that I'm very proud of. But one of the things I'm most proud of is the program that we developed to develop future leaders of the agency and leadership within the agency. I believe that public safety agencies have more to do with overall quality of life than any other agency in a community. If public safety isn't working well, then it's hard to attract businesses. It's hard to do a lot of things. So it's not worth the risk to leave that to chance. And so we set out 7 years ago to develop a template to try to use community resources and what we could to develop our future leaders. And we've done a lot of things with that. One of the things that's easy to show is fiscal responsibility. I've always believed that the right thing to do is spend the money that you need to do the job, but not spend money just because you have it, because there are a lot of needs in the community. And I take that very seriously, and all those who I've worked with over the years know that. So we've been fortunate, even during the worst economic times since the Great Depression. I worked within my budget. My folks did. They developed skill sets to manage resources that I would say are comparable to anybody in business. And, we never spent more money than we had. We never had to go back and ask for more. And, we did a lot of things to get the skill sets developed.
It was very interesting, Jack. I was appointed by Mayor Jim Gray to be a part of the group that interviewed applicants for the police chief's position. Mm-hmm. And the two candidates that were internal candidates that are presently on the Lexington Police Force were what I considered head and shoulders above the other applicants when it came to the very thing that Ronnie's talking about. The process you go through to develop a budget, to live within the budget, and if you can live within the budget and save money in the process, that you give it back to the city treasury. And very impressive candidates. And I think Mark Barnard is going to be an outstanding police chief.
What's your opinion?
I'm very proud of Mark. Mark was one of my assistant chiefs, and I have a lot of confidence in him. He has the foundation to be a great police chief.
Let me tell you something about, I want to bang Mark's drum here for a minute.
We had him on the show a few weeks ago. Yeah.
He and I are both Episcopalians. But
we won't hold that against you.
That's, well, good.
Yeah.
And he is very involved in a camp that the Diocese of Lexington has, It's called Cathedral Domain down in Lee County. And he was down there working with the campers, and it was miserably hot. He went out and bought 6 air conditioners on his own and installed them down there. And it's just...
Wow.
The guy, he's a good guy, and he's a very thoughtful guy, and he's going to... I think he'll be a good police chief. Okay, Ronnie, now tell us a little bit about... Talk about some of the agencies that you have to kind of oversee.
Well, I'm learning about those, Ray. I know a lot about police, obviously, and I've been associated and worked pretty closely with all the other agencies over the last 30 years. But I'm seeing it from a different view now, a different perspective. And so I'm seeing that there's more that I have to learn about fire and corrections and E911 and disaster and emergency management. So my plan is to take it slow here for a period of time and learn more about those operations so that I'll be in a better position to support them.
Well, we had Robert Stack on about E911. And, of course, anybody that's worked with Robert knows that when he's working on some project, he knows all about it. It was fascinating. That was one of the good programs we had.
And we've had the fire... Have we had the fire chief?
No,
I know I've had him on, but we I don't think we've had him with you. And I'm here hearing nothing but good reports about him as well.
Well, you know, great organizations are made up of great people. And I know that each of our divisions have great people. So we're going to start with a strong base and build from there.
We're going to take a break, 253-5959. And if you have a question or comment for Ronnie Baston, 253-5959. Touch star 590 from AT&T. Toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590. Or email jackpatty@wvlkam.com. Commonwealth Attorney Ray Larson with us. Public Safety Commissioner Ronnie Baston, our guest. Ray?
Tell us about the Department of Division of Emergency Management.
That department is responsible for all of maintaining an operational plan in the event of various kinds of emergencies, to include our CSEP program, which is storage of the chemical weapons down in Madison County. We have very extensive plans to do evacuations and reroute traffic and take care of folks in the event something like that were to occur.
Now, when are they supposed to start destroying those chemical weapons?
You know, I'm not really sure when that actually is going to start. I know they've been building a plant that will do that on site,
mm-hmm.
and that's been going on for the last year and a half or 2 years, so I'm not sure exactly when the start date is.
That's always worried me, Jack, that those are down there, and I would think that if there were some sort of a terrorist attack, that would be a good place to do it if I were a terrorist, and that has always kind of concerned me.
Well, I think we're the last site in the U.S. that is scheduled for disposal. So I'm sure we can all feel more comfortable
right
after that's completed. But we, in Deem, they plan for and, you know, have plans for tornadoes, floods, ice storms, anytime that we would have a need to open the emergency operations center. And if an event caused us to have more demand for services than we would have on duty typically, then we can open the emergency operations center and bring a bunch of entities and partners in to manage the event.
I know that periodically I get a call from the collision reconstruction unit with the police department to come to the scene of a vehicle crash or that sort of thing. And I've been to a couple of when there's a tanker that has some sort of liquid in it that's scary, and they call and they're out there. At those kind of things.
We got a call. Johnny, good morning.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a comment or question for the commissioner. And
go right ahead.
This involves a friend of mine. This was about 2 weeks ago. She and her roommate were a victim of a scam, so-called maintenance person. But at any rate, the guy came back and was screaming for some money and broke in their door. And as he was breaking in the door, she called 911, who delayed their response to help her by taking the time to ask what the race of this perpetrator was. And my question is, who can she call about this, and why would it matter when someone's breaking down your door what race they are?
Well, I'm Ray Larson. Let me talk about that first. It's very interesting that when we had Robert Stack on here to talk about 911 calls, mm-hmm. because there are two types of people that are involved in receiving a 911 call. First one is what's called a call taker. And when they're taking the call, talking to the caller, and they're typing into their computer the information that's then transferred to a dispatcher, a person that dispatches police officers to the scene. And people get very frustrated because they want the call taker to send the police. Well, that's being done while the call taker's talking to them. And it's very important to know how are we going to identify the person that is being complained about. And one of the things you do is you say, okay, describe the person. What's the race? What's the size? What color hair? Those kind of things. So that's why it's important to know those kind of things. Does that answer your question?
It sure does, and
good.
I really appreciate it because, unfortunately, she has stage 4 ovarian cancer, and this just sort of really freaked her out, and
sure.
This will help her to know there was a reason.
Good. All right. Thanks for calling, Johnny. You're the best.
I agree with you. That program that we had involving the 911 operation here in Lexington was very, very interesting.
So talk to me a little bit about every time there's some kind of a terrorist attack somewhere in the world, it becomes a big deal, a real big deal, especially since what happened to us in 2001 in New York, the 911 tragedy. How are we prepared for those kind of things? How do we deal with those kind of things?
Ray, September 11, 2001 changed our world, I think forever in some ways. In this community, I know our police department has a full-time person assigned to the FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force here locally. They gather intelligence on any person of interest that we may have living in our community or visiting our community. And that information is shared with the police department. Our department has been trained, and especially when we get alerts or information that an event could occur or there's a state of alert throughout the United States, our folks are much more vigilant and looking for any information that might cause us to intervene and keep something from happening in Lexington.
Got a call. Price, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a question. It's something that's been in the news quite a lot here in the last few weeks. Deals with the constitutional office of the jailer. What is your all's input on this, since, like I say, our Constitution deals with certain aspects of their job that must be done? Do you have any comment on that?
Well, I do, and I'll answer that. Lexington has a great situation where our detention center, known around as a jail, is managed by the Lexington Fayette Urban County government, and we have a detention center director, at Rodney Ballard, who is a heck of a man in that position. And I think Louisville has the same situation, big city, the two biggest cities in Kentucky. There've been a lot of publicity about we got jailers that got no jail. in Kentucky. And I think this is becoming kind of a, that position is becoming a little bit out of date. And as a result, they think that the sheriff, a lot of people think the sheriff, like in many other states, should manage the jail. And I don't disagree with that. I think that there, it's goes back to this thing I talked about earlier. We got, in my opinion, too many counties in Kentucky, and with each county goes some jobs that probably are obsolete, and probably we ought to rethink that.
We've got Kathy Witt as our guest on Monday morning. We'll pose that question to her.
All right.
Thank you for your call. Let's take a break at this point, and we'll be right back. 253-5959, touch star 590 from AT&T. Toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590, or email jackpatty@wvlkam.com. Our guest this morning is our new public safety commissioner, Ronnie Baston, former police chief. And, of course, Ray Larson's with us. If you have a question or comment, give us a call. It is 11 minutes away from 10 o'clock, News Talk 590 WVLK. Commonwealth Attorney Ray Larson with us, and our new public safety commissioner, Ronnie Baston, is here. And if you have a question or comment, 253-5959, touch star 590 from AT&T, toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590, or email jackpatty@wvlkam.com. Ray?
Ronnie has to go to a graduation.
Oh, that's right. I forgot he's got to leave us, doesn't he?
For new corrections officers. And we haven't talked about the detention center. Let's talk a little bit, because it's an a real big operation and a well-run operation. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, I agree with you, Ray. It is a very well-run operation. In fact, yesterday I saw an article that the director, Rodney Ballard, had submitted to the National Institute of Corrections, I think, and it was published, about a survey that he had done and involving health care within detention facilities, which is a huge expense. And he's on the leading edge of that. He's looking for ways to cut costs at every junction, and I just really appreciate his efforts and his leadership in that. Our detention center is a finely run operation and very important operation for the community.
They have 1,100 capacity for 1,100 people, and it was built, oh, I don't know when it was built, but it was Ray Sabatini was the director of the detention center at that time. He was a jailer, and he was the impetus to get that transferred to supervision by the city. And he was an outstanding thinker in the whole corrections field, and still, I think, goes around consulting around the country.
That job is a very tough job for the correctional officers and people that work there. I know I worked in the state prison system back in the late 70s and early 80s, and most people just have no idea the kinds of things that the staff there have to deal with on a daily basis. I read the reports every morning now, and every day there are things that just, you know, are tough to deal with that occur.
They have the largest kitchen, serves the most meals of any place in the state out there.
Is that right?
Yeah, and it's a fascinating place.
We got to let this man go. You need to go, Ron? You do, don't you?
I'm good here for another 5 minutes.
Okay.
Or so.
Okay. Good.
Good. We were gonna have to fire him. So tell me what the difference is between the job of police chief now. What's the main differences between your job now as public safety commissioner and police chief?
Well, there's some similarities and differences. Obviously, now I have to see a bigger picture of the entire public safety status within the community. I traded in about 700 employees for 1,650. I traded in a $65 million annual budget for a little over $180 million annual budget, which is about 55 or 6% of the entire general fund budget for Lexington. So, you know, that's a responsibility I'm going to take very seriously because that's my tax money as well as everybody else.
Where are you located? Where's your office?
Down at 200 East Main at the Government Center.
Government Center, okay.
On the third floor. But, yeah, we're gonna try to maximize all that we can for every dollar that is spent in public safety.
Well, I work very closely with the police department, and that's one of the things they've done. They've been very fiscally responsible at the police department. And you said attrition. I run into guys that are gonna and gals that are gonna retire, and I think, oh Lord, how are we gonna replace them? And what kind of a deal do you have working to replace all these people?
Well, we have continuous recruitment in most of the divisions, and you know, that's something that you can't let up on. You have to work very aggressively.
Well, diversity is a big issue right now.
Absolutely.
In the news.
Debbie,
absolutely.
Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I feel like a lot of the time the legislature doesn't understand what goes on in the streets. I'm referring to catch and release program.
Boy, you're preaching to the choir. Raise,
yes, I know.
You know,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's good. Go ahead.
My take on this is that when I grew up back in the East Coast, we had foot patrols. We also had driving patrols by the policemen, which greatly helped the neighborhood get to know them. Also, it was keeping eyes on everything. Like, you would have had less break-ins, you would have had less holdups of businesses, less muggings. What are the possibilities of this happening for us here?
Well, we use some foot patrols when the weather's a bit warmer than it is right now in areas where we feel like we need a presence. In some areas, I think where you have a lot of high-rise, high-density residences, foot patrols tend to work a little bit better than they do in communities where the residences are spread just a little farther apart. The response times in patrol coverage areas can be much more efficient when it's done with from a motorized vehicle. But in large cities especially, you tend to see many, many more foot patrols with the high-rise buildings.
I know when Police Chief Mark Barnard was on, he was very interested in the bike patrols, which is this gives them a little more mobility,
mm-hmm.
and the foot patrols and downtown, because if you know, we're one gunshot away from making our downtown not a place people want to go. And police have to have a presence down there if we're going to continue to have a vibrant downtown.
And I appreciate your call, Debbie. Unfortunately, we are out of time. And congratulations once again to you, Ronnie, and thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Jack. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Ray. We'll see you next week. And stand by. We have an update from the Information Center coming up next, followed by Live with Lee and Lee Cruz. Have a good weekend. I'll be back Monday morning at 6, 5 Central.